Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bharat Petroleum Corporation Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nidhi. A very good morning to everyone. I'd like to welcome all the participants and the BPCL senior management team to this call. We have with us Mr. V.R.K. Gupta, Director of Finance, Mr. Pankaj Kumar, ED Corporate Finance, Mrs. Srividya, ED Corporate Treasury, Mrs. Chandanidhi, GM Pricing and Insurance, and Mr. Bala Girish, Senior Manager Finance. I'd like to hand over the call to Bala for the disclaimer and then opening remarks by the team.
Thank you, Mr. Varatharajan. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the BPCL team, I welcome you all to this post-Q1 results con call. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements that we would be making during this con call are based on our assessments of the matter, and we believe that these statements are reasonable. However, their nature involves a number of risks and uncertainties that may lead to different results. Since this is a quarterly results review, please restrict your questions to the Q1 results. I now request our Director of Finance, Mr. V.R.K. Gupta, who is leading the BPCL team for this call, to make his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the post-Q1 results con call. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you were able to go through our results for the quarter. On the macro side, global growth prospects have strengthened with the IMF in July 2025 upgrading its 2025 forecast to 3% and India's FY25.
Operator request has been initiated. If you'd like to cancel this request, please press star zero again.
Yeah, outlook to 6.4%, reflecting resilient trade activity, robust domestic demand, and sustained reforms. While the recent August 2025 U.S. tariff measures introduce a degree of uncertainty, the underlying momentum in consumption and investments continues to support a positive medium-term outlook. RBI has retained GDP growth forecast at 6.5% for the current fiscal in its latest MPC meeting, citing strong domestic demand economic resilience. Despite risks posed by recent U.S. tariffs, it expressed confidence that ongoing trade negotiations will help ease these pressures. In Q1 FY25-26, the rupee appreciated 1.2% quarter-on-quarter to 85.56 per USD from 86.62 in Q4, driven by strong foreign inflows, a weaker USD, and easing geopolitical tensions. However, it now trades near historical lows amid U.S.-India tariff concerns and sustained FPI outflows. After weakening to 87.79 USD on August 5th, it recovered slightly on a softer USD ahead of U.S.-Russia talks. IEA forecasts global oil demand to increase by 2.5 million barrels per day between 2024 and 2030, with the demand expected to reach 105.6 million barrels per day by 2029, followed by a slight decline in 2030. Within this context, India is projected to be the largest contributor to demand growth, with its oil consumption rising by 1 million barrels per day at an average annual rate of around 2.8%, outpacing all other countries during this period. Oil prices have remained volatile amid the recent tariff announcement and a series of OPEC+ production hikes. As per EIA's latest projections, Brent is likely to be $67-$68 per barrel in 2025. Domestic petroleum product demand grew in Q1, with petrol by 7.1%, diesel 2.6%, and ATF up by 3.9% as per PPAC. Comes to the performance in Q1 of 2025-26. On the operation side, our refineries processed 10.42 million metric tons of crude, achieving 118% of nameplate capacity. We have achieved a distillate yield of 84.96%, consistently above benchmark, owing to our complex refinery configuration and strong operational efficiencies. Product cracks for gasoline were $9.88 per barrel and for gas oil $15.81 per barrel for Q1 during this period. Accordingly, our refineries recorded a GRM of $4.88 per barrel, $7.76 per barrel in the current quarter as compared to $7.86 per barrel in Q1 of 24-25. BPCL has always been evaluating crude grades from across global geographies, selecting those that maximize value in line with refinery configuration and product demand. In the current environment of narrowing discounts for Russian crude, the company's agile resourcing strategy has enabled procurement of alternative grades from Brazil, the US, West Africa, and other regions guided by economics and market conditions, and maintaining a competitive edge in crude selection. On the marketing side, our domestic market sale grew by 3.19% on year-on-year during this quarter to 13.58 MMT. Further, as compared to Q4 of 24-25, we recorded a growth of 6.6% in MS and 3.2% in HSD in Q1. During the quarter, we commissioned 317 NROs and 99 CNG stations, taking total RO network to 23,958 and CNG stations network to 2,607 stations. We aim to expand our RO network to 25,000 by the end of this current financial year. We maintained our leadership in throughput per RO at 153 KL per month for Q1 25-26, outperforming the PSU average, driven by strategic market access and a strong highway presence. In a positive development for the OMCs, the government has announced a 30,000 crore compensation towards the under-recovery and sale of domestic LPG, which is expected to be paid in different tranches. With further details awaited on the payout, BPCL's total negative buffer before the impact of the said compensation is 12,523 crore as of June 25-26. We have not accounted anything against this particular compensation announced. Through our industry-first digital initiative of a QR code-based payment mechanism at our RO UFIL, which embodies our commitment to transparency and convenience, we have covered 15,000 plus retail outlets with a daily 6 lakh transactions valued at 30 crore per day. AI-driven Iris platform is an intelligent system that enables us to remotely manage retail outlet operations, safeguarding both quality and quantity at the outlet. Iris is activated at 19,000 retail outlets across businesses. BPCL is advancing digital transformation using real-time data under several initiatives to streamline operations, reducing turnaround time and enhancing customer experience. In line with government's energy security agenda and efforts to reduce import dependence through biofuels, ethanol blending level of BPCL for Q1 25-26 stood at 19.62%. Under gas business, we have achieved a total sales volume of 338 TMT, 9% on quarter-on-quarter basis during the year for CNG, PNG and bulk sales in our own GS. Further, through our retail channels, we have sold 269 TMT in Q1 25-26. We also received our first cargo under the long-term supply agreement with ADNOC, linked to Henry Hub Index in Q1 25-26, diversifying our long-term sourcing strategy beyond Brent-linked term contracts. We added 839 EV charging stations during Q1, taking total network to 7,402 of EV charging stations. Updates on new projects. Bina Petrochemical and Refinery Petro Expansion Project has made steady progress, achieving overall progress of around 14% as against a schedule of 15.9%. We have incurred expenditure of approximately 800 crore with overall commitment of 6,800 crore. All technology licenses and consultants are onboarded and process packages for all units received and front-end engineering design has been completed. Detailed engineering and procurement are underway, with tenders for critical equipment and EPC packages floated, and key long-term items such as ECU compressor and furnace packages have been awarded. Site enabling works are also nearing completion. Further, as a step towards digitization, we launched the DigiBPrep, an industry-first digital platform for the project, enabling real-time progress monitoring and enhanced transparency. In our polypropylene project at Kochi, we have achieved a physical progress of 12.2% as against a schedule of 16%, with an expenditure of 260 crore and overall commitment of 1200 crore. Licensor selection and basic design engineering activities have been completed. Order for six major long lead items have been placed. The EPC tender, this is the major activity for the PP unit, is underway. The board has also recently approved the petro residue fluidized catalytic cracking unit and associated facilities at Mumbai Refinery at a gross capital cost of 14,200 crore with expected mechanical completion by May 2029. The project will replace the old CCU and FCC units at our Mumbai refinery, which are almost 40 years old. This will help MR achieve residue upgradation, increase transportation fuel production, provide flexibility of processing higher proportion of high sulfur crudes, and reduce environmental impact, thus also increasing overall yields of BPCL group refineries. During the last year, the board has approved 6,100 crore towards pre-project activities, including land identification and acquisition, feasibility studies, and environmental assessment for greenfield refinery chemical complex in Andhra Pradesh. Detailed feasibility study of the project is in progress. Land acquisition is also in progress. On green energy, BPCL has awarded contracts for setting up 100 megawatts of wind farm projects, 50 megawatt each in Madhya Pradesh and Maharashtra, as part of its strategy to transition to renewable energy and reduce reliance on imported fossil power. The LOAs have been issued to Mrs. Sujalan Energy Limited and Mrs. Integram Energy Limited, with completion and commissioning targeted within 2 years. As informed to you earlier, based on the approval in the previous quarters, BPCL has constituted joint venture Nuyen Energy Green Energy with Sembcorp Green Hydrogen Private Limited for setting up renewable energy and green hydrogen assets. Two projects, ground-mounted solar project at Prayagraj, an integrated green hydrogen plant and hydrogen refueling station in Kochi, are expected to be commissioned during the next 2-3 months. We have prioritized setting up of 26 CBG plants, out of which 10 in direct investment. The location has been identified and activities have commenced. Further, 16 CBG plants are proposed to be set up through our joint venture, Bharat GPGS Bioenergy Private Limited, and the proposed JV with Praj Industries. Let me now guide you through the financial highlights for the quarter. The revenue from operations stood at 1,29,578 crore. The standalone profit after tax stood at 6,124 crore and the consolidated profit after tax was 6,839 crore. Against an estimated capex of 20,000 crore during this financial year, we have spent about 2,382 crore during Q1. Our standalone net worth as on 30th June 2025 is 87,377 crore. The earning per share for the quarter is 14.33 per share. As of June 25, the debt equity at standalone gross borrowing level is 0.12. Overall, standalone gross borrowing is 10,709 crore as on 30th June 2025. Again, at which we have current investments including surplus funds in oil bonds of about 17,580 crore. Placing us at a net surplus on a standalone basis. At group level, debt equity is 0.44 with gross borrowings of 39,452 crore. Debt equity ratio net of current investments at group level will be around 0.25. This concludes my comments and we'll be happy to take your questions now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Probal Sen from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Very good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just to clarify the last bit that you just mentioned, on the group debt level, you said the group debt equity ratio on gross is 0.4. And what was the debt level at group level, sir? I didn't catch the number.
It is 39,452 crore at group level debt.
39,452 crore. And on a net level, it's around 0.25. That's what you said, sir?
Yeah. Yeah, we have surplus funds invested around 17,580 crore.
Understood. Okay. Right. So I had a few questions. First was, sir, you mentioned that due to the uneconomic nature of Russian crude, we have procured from other sources. So can you just quantify what the Russian crude percentage was in this quarter and also the inventory impact, if any, if you can quantify for this quarter in the GRM?
This quarter, Russian crude procurement is around 34% for April, May, June quarter. In terms of inventory levels, like we have kept a little bit more inventories in the month of March, April because of geopolitical issues and concerns. So our inventory levels are slightly on a higher side. March 2025, our total quantity, crude oil and in-transit is 2.9 MMT, whereas generally we keep around 2.3, 2.4 MMT. But this quarter, March and as well as June also, our inventory levels are around 2.9 to 3 MMT levels of crude.
And what was that, what does that translate to, sir, in terms of dollars per barrel impact in this quarter GRM?
Per barrel impact, we generally don't calculate. Generally, normal standard inventory levels around 22-25% extra inventory we have kept.
Understood, sir. Understood. The other question I had, sir, was if we look at this quarter numbers, despite the decline in QOQ, I'm talking about on a sequential basis versus Q4, you know, your GRMs have obviously declined quite sharply, and while retail fuel margins were, you know, fairly strong, even then the marketing earnings seem to be very, very, you know, robust in this quarter, given the inventory loss also that was there. Just wanted to understand, is the strength only from retail fuels or other product margins have also seen some strength in this quarter?
Mainly retail fuels only. Mainly retail fuels only. Other products marketing margins are at standard level, normally same levels. There is no big change in terms of marketing margin. But retail fuels are definitely on account of low crude prices and there is no change in the RSPs, our margins are better.
Okay. And last question, sir. Right, so that got it. And the lower LPG losses would have. So LPG on a per cylinder basis, what is the kind of loss we have seen last quarter and right now? If you can just let us know.
For the month of July, it's around 100 rupees per cylinder. And going forward, July, August. And going forward, August, September, it's around 30 rupees.
And what was it in Q1, ma'am?
Q1 is around 150 rupees per cylinder.
Right. Last question, if I can squeeze any, if you can give us the capex guidance for FY26 and FY27, broken up into sections.
FY26, our estimated capacity 20,000 crore. Till June, we have spent around 2,300 crore. The progress is going on well. By end of this year, we achieve this 20,000 crore. And a phasing wise, right, next year we are expecting around 20,000 to 25,000 crore. We are not summed up the numbers, but we are estimating around somewhere 22,000 to 25,000 crore.
Right, sir. Thank you so much. I'll come back if I have more questions. Thanks so much. All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Nandwani from IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, the Bina refinery reported GRM of only $4.5 per barrel in this quarter, which is notably lower than its usual trend of outperforming the Kochi refinery. So is it just because of lower Russian crude and inventory losses, or are there any specific reasons for the same?
Major reason is our inventory buildup has happened during this month due to the geopolitical issues. So definitely there is an impact of high inventory carrying cost in the subsequent month processing. That is a major reason. Otherwise, Russian crude, in terms of the percentage of Russian crude production, there is no big change. Maybe every quarter and quarter, maybe 2-3% here and there it happens. But otherwise, similar trends. And discount, Russian crude discount, compared to earlier quarters, it has come down to almost $1.5 level. Maybe these are the couple of reasons. But major impact is on account of inventory buildup, nothing.
Okay, sir. And sir, with now crude price is now trending below $70 per barrel and OMC is also getting the compensation for LPG, are there any discussions underway regarding a cut in the auto fuel prices?
No, at this point of time, there is no discussion because if you see, till the geopolitical tensions are still, it is uncertain. We don't know how the trend will change suddenly. We have to wait and see for some more time.
Okay, sir. And lastly, on the with respect to Mozambique asset, could you just walk us through the expected timeline for the restart?
We are expecting this quarter, definitely there should be some positive news because whatever the revised project cost, we are requesting the Mozambique government to consider the revised project cost for allowing that as expenditure. That audit work is going on. Maybe by end of this month or next month, we are expecting certain positive news.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Patel from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for giving me an opportunity, sir. Sir, what is your understanding on LPG compensation, which will be in 12 tranches? Is it a 12 months or some other time period? My second question is, how much share of LPG compensation you will account in FY26 and FY27? If you give some kind of clarity on this matter.
Whatever information available through PIB, OMC's got 30,000 crore grant. We are awaiting the operating modalities, how the compensation mechanism happens. If we are awaiting any communication from the MOPNG, we are not yet received any communication, whether it is over a period of 12 months or a period of 24 months. Exactly those details are not available at this point of time. Once we receive the details, then accordingly we can share what is the impact of that. Otherwise, market share point of view, BPCL, we are expecting at least 25 to 26%, since we have the market share. So our compensation should be within the same level of market share percentage. That is what we are expecting for BPCL.
So my second question is again on the debt side, a sharp decline in the gross debt. Considering the EBITDA of this quarter 9,600 crore and the capex lineup of 20,000 crore and the next year is little bit higher, any particular net debt to EBITDA or debt to equity levels we are targeting for the next few years, considering our capex is on the rising mode?
We are not expecting any significant rise of debt equity, even when we are seeing the peak capex is going to happen in FY 27, 28 and 28-29. Our expected debt equity will be around 1, because that is those years where your cash inflow is lesser than your cash outflow in terms of capex investments. But once the projects are commissioned, then subsequent years may the new cash flows will come. Again, we are comfortable at 0.4, 0.5 level of debt equity. So maybe subsequent to the project commissioning, we will come back to that 0.4, 0.5 level of debt. That is where actually we are comfortable.
And the last one from my side.
This year and next year, since our capex is reasonably at 20,000 to 22,000 crore level, so we are not foreseeing any good improvement in the debt equity. Same levels of debt equity we can maintain, 0.1, 0.2 levels.
And the last one from my side, what was the Russian crew share during the Q1? Sorry, I missed that part. And are we facing any issues on the financial pay? Are we facing any issues on the financial payments related to Russian import?
No. At this point of time, since the prices are low, only below the threshold price, so there is no issue in terms of the payment side. And our crude procurement from Russia side is around 34% during the first quarter. Only slightly it has reduced in the last month, but we are expecting again the flows will come back at normal level of 30 to 35%.
So it is expected that it will remain in the range of 30-35% for the remaining period of the
FY20. That is what we are expecting. As long as there is no new sanctions on Russian oil, so our procurement strategy will be around 30 to 35% of Russian crude.
Thanks a lot, sir. This was really helpful.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit to two questions per participant and rejoin the queue for the follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Vivekanand from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I have two questions. So the first one, the impairment of 1773 crore, that has brought down your carrying value in BPRL to around 4,500 crore. Is that how one should infer it, or was there any other subsidiary or joint venture where there was an impairment? That is question one. The second question is on your gas SBU. So some of the other players in the gas space, they are consolidating their gas assets. If I look at your gas vertical, you have the erstwhile BGRL now being part of BPCL as an SBU, and then you have shareholding in several large CGD entities, which are some of which are also carrying out investments. So I just want to understand from your perspective, you are going to invest a lot of money in the gas vertical, but let's say to shine some spotlight on that and perhaps for investors to get more comfort on the value creation that is happening, what are the steps you are taking? Because we understand there are three listed entities, right? There is Petronet, there is IGL. These are two prominent gas entities, but there are several others that are in varying stages, and perhaps investors view gas more positively than oil companies, so valuation is higher there. Is there any concerted effort for you to look at the gas vertical any differently than the current structure? And your broad thoughts there will help. Thank you.
Yeah, rightly you said our focus in gas is significantly higher as compared to other fuel stations, and we have a very good amount of capital allocation for gas. Mainly, our first strategy to complete our minimum work program in terms of completing the CNG stations and PNG connections and whatever minimum kilometer length pipeline infrastructure we have to create. That is where our first focus. In terms of certain JV investments, already certain companies already we have listed, and some of the couple of companies which has reached a stage where we can look for listing of those particular JV companies. So that is where actually initially we are thinking now one of the JV, MNGL. There we have given an in-principle approval for listing of this particular company and submitted our proposal to the ministry and DIPAM. We are awaiting for that. In terms of consolidation, we are not at that particular stage, this point of time. We have to reach a particular scale and we can look at it as a consolidation. We are also looking at it. There are some small JV companies. Instead of keeping the small JV companies, maybe consolidation is the right choice. We are working on it, but we have not yet concluded anything on this, but that exercise is going on. On BPRL impairment, whatever impairment we have done in March 25 only, this quarter, there is no further impairment. But in our entire impairment, the major portion is BPRL only. Other JV company investments impairment is very small, maybe 10-15 crore over where certain JV companies we are in the process of liquidation. But other majority portion of our impairment is mainly on account of BPRL.
Okay. So the current state is that you still are quite confident of the carrying value of, sorry, 60 billion. I said wrongly initially. It was around 6,000 crore. So you are confident of that value remaining intact given the continuous delays in Mozambique?
Right. Every year we do the testing, impairment testing. Whatever is required, based on the circumstances and the particular reporting date, whatever additional impairment is required, every year we are providing. As of March 25, as per the impairment working, that is what valid.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning and congratulations on your performance. So I have two broad questions. One is in your consolidated accounts, the JV share of earnings have gone up. So what has driven that? And to look at the segment results, there is a huge increase in the profits. In fact, there's a turnaround from loss to profit of 890 crores in the E&P business. So what is the reason for that? And then I have a few questions on the CNG business. So if you can address these two thoughts, then I'll go to the CNG question.
Yeah. So this time our group has given an incremental profit after tax of around 800 crore. Mainly it is coming from Bharat Petroleum Resources, around 450 crore they have contributed in the group. The main profit after tax generation in BPRL is mainly on account of currency fluctuations. This particular quarter, the ruble against rupee has significantly appreciated, where some of our funds are parked at rubles only, because we could not in a position to take the money as a dividend moved to India due to some taxation issues and certain controls. So that was the reason on account of ruble appreciation against dollar, this quarter significant currency fluctuations have happened. Positively, BPRL has generated a good amount of profit. And all other JV companies have performed well.
Okay, so on the CNG business, in terms of the standalone numbers you shared, can you give us the number of CNG stations operating in the standalone GAs and what was the number for the volume of CNG sales in the standalone stations for fourth quarter 25 and first quarter 25?
Total
Total CNG total stations 2,464 of CNG stations in our network, which they are selling the CNG. And whereas the volumes, we have 339 TMT in our own GAs, plus through our retail outlet, we are selling at 269. Around 600 TMT, we have sold CNG from our own GAs as well as through our retail outlet network.
Yeah, so can you give the corresponding number for the standalone GAs in last year, 1Q, fourth quarter, 25, just to understand the progress?
That will share, sir.
So if you look at the numbers, there seems to be some traction in terms of positive EBITDA. So are we right in assuming that, you know, on this kind of run rate, you're already achieving some profits in your results, in your standalone numbers?
Not clear, can you repeat?
No, EBITDA contribution from these CNG GAs.
Yes.
EBITDA generation is in the expected lines only. Once our infrastructure investments are completed, full volumes we are expecting. Otherwise, till date, only we are getting only every year maybe 120, 130 TMT of sale through our CNG network. Once that entire CNG commissioning happens, then good amount of volumes will come. Otherwise, EBITDA margins are as expected lines only. From the gas.
Okay, so on the depreciation run rate, now you've increased about 400 crores this quarter. So in terms of the capitalization of the CNG station, what would be the total assets capitalized as on date in the CNG standalone
GAs? As on date, it will be around 7,900 crore in the entire gas business we have invested.
Okay, thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Solanki from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just want to know, you know, as you said that we have, you know, processed 34% of the Russian crude, but still if I look at the high sulfur percentage of the total crude, it has gone 200 basis down, points down. So can you just explain what has, you know, dropped the high sulfur crude processing?
No, there is no specific reason, because based on the product demand, we may take a little bit low sulfur grades. So WTA grades are a little bit more on the consumption side. That is 1% down in terms of high sulfur consumption. Last quarter it was 77%, whereas this quarter it is 76%, small change. A quarter on quarter it may vary around 1 or 2% here and there.
Okay, sure. That's helpful. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddhesh Jain from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to know how the unit economics work at the charging stations and how much EBITDA level it will be contributing in FY27.
If you ask me in terms of financial contribution, very, very insignificant. So investments also around 250 to 300 crore. Our total capital outlay in terms of this infrastructure creation, because we have received a good amount of subsidy from the Government of India also. So the investment size is around 300 crore. We are not expecting a very big EBITDA from the EV charging station, but only it gives a convenience to the customers, whoever is coming to our forecourt. Whatever fuels they want, including the charging station, it is available at the retail outlet. If you ask me the total, maybe we can expect 10 crore or 15 crore of EBITDA from EV charging stations.
Also on the unit economic front, sir, is there something, how much?
Unit economics, if you ask me in terms of the number, today we are having a 2% capacity utilization. So there is no profit generation from this particular thing now, because we have to wait and see, because we have to create infrastructure first, then once the vehicle population goes up, maybe in the subsequent next 2-3 years onwards, maybe there may be some good volume. Otherwise, today it is only 2% of capacity utilization.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Jain from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. Firstly, your debt number is clearly a great surprise. This is the lowest debt number we've seen in at least 15 years or so, or even more. I just wanted to understand this 13,000 crore kind of a move down. Part of it would be, of course, end of the year excise duty and other linked payments that you have to make in advance. So part of that will be because of that. Where is the others coming from? Of course, there's the cash profit that you have generated, but is there a release from working capital which is perhaps a bit temporary or something like that? Where is this 13,000 crore decline coming from? Broad breakups, if any.
If we compare from March 25 and June 25, there are two major changes. One is definitely excise duty, because end of the year we have to pay in the month of March, whereas during the year you have a 7 days time, maybe in the subsequent month you can pay. That is around 7,000 to 8,000 crore. And secondly, due to the low prices of inventory, even similar volumes we are maintaining, the value of the inventory is coming down around 3,000 crore. So it is release of the working capital to the extent. These two are the major reasons. Otherwise, other current liabilities, financial liabilities, more or less, it will be in the same range. And second, by end of the year, for example, if we receive that LPG subsidy, maybe in the next 1 or 2 months, definitely it helps a lot in terms of cash flow. So we are not expecting any big way debt equity levels will go up. As long as crude is around $65 to $70 range.
So your estimate, sorry, if I'm not sure if you repeated that. What is your estimate of the 30,000 crore that you would receive?
25 to 26 in between. Exactly, we don't have the number now. Once the communication from the ministry, then we'll come to know. But otherwise, as per our market share...
7,500 to 8,000 crores, basically.
Maybe 7,500 to 8,000 crore in the range.
Okay. Just one more thing. So other income is uncharacteristically high for a first quarter number. Is there anything that is happening here? Because typically the other quarters are higher.
Mainly surplus funds. We have good amount of surplus funds and we have made fixed deposit, 1 year fixed deposit, which is at 7.5 or 7.8 level. During the March, we have made that investment. So that is the reason. Mainly interest income only. All other income.
There's no real one-off or anything like that.
No, nothing. This is only surplus.
The small forex gain, but that's very small. Will be part of other income now?
Because we don't have any foreign currency borrowings. Whatever it is, crude payment related.
Okay, understood. Should I say that for CapEx, FY26 you said is 20,000, FY27 you said would be slightly higher, but FY28 would be the biggest number of CapEx?
Yeah, we are expecting around 30,000 crore FY28. 34,000 crore FY28 and 28-29 around 35,000 crore. That is that based on the current approved projects, in case if any new projects are added, the capex numbers will vary. Otherwise, based on the current approved projects, 26-27 we are expecting around 22-25,000 crore. But 27-28 we are expecting 35,000 crore and 28-29 also in the range of 35,000 crore.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Those were my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayank Maheshwari from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the call. A few questions more from a marketing perspective on fuels. One in terms of diesel, especially on retail diesel. Can you just tell us how your market share has trended on retail diesel? And the second question was in terms of industrial side. Obviously, I think there is reasonable amount of competition. Can you just say what's going on subjectively from a competition perspective? And how does the recent regulatory changes on ATF pipelines impact you from a market share perspective on jet fuel? Thank you.
One is HSD retail side, our market share during this quarter is 29.59. Compared to previous quarter, slightly it is a reduction side. And HSD direct, yes, we are facing a good competition from the private sector. Private sector has given good amount of discounts in the market, but we are not participated in the discount game. A little bit we are behind in terms of diesel growth in direct segment. But however, it's only temporary. Once the margins are settled, this discount game will not be there. We are expecting our market share will come back even in the direct business also. So in terms of aviation, our market share during this quarter is 26.51. Last quarter it was 21.78, but we have come back and we have taken back our own volumes from other customers, and we are back to 26.51.
And sir, does this change in the regular opening of the pipeline network impact you in terms of competition at all on ATF?
nothing, nothing. We are not expecting any big change in terms of any policy in terms of the pipeline. Whatever pipelines we have, captive pipelines we have, even if there is any change in the policy, we are objecting because captive pipeline should be with the respective refineries only. Let us see how it happens.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kishan Mundhra from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just one question from my end. So, sir, whenever this geopolitical tensions settle down and whenever you move back to daily fuel price revisions on petrol and diesel, sir, what is your estimate of where would the normalized margins, what would the normalized margins look like on petrol and diesel?
Today I cannot say when the daily pricing is going to happen and other things. So everything depends on the crude prices, how the crude prices move. What we can see is that as long as crude prices are at 65 to 70 range, our margins will be better. So there is no standardized margin for MS and HSD in this scenario. It all depends on the crude prices. If the crude prices are on lower side, since our pricing RSPs are not changed, so our margins will be better. So if crude prices goes beyond 70 or 75 level once it reaches, then a little bit pressure it creates on the margins. But what would be the standard margins, we cannot comment at this point of time because we are not in a daily pricing mode.
Not now, sir, but let us say theoretically in 3 to 6 months down the line, crude prices are at 60 and you move back to a situation where there is a daily pricing which is possible. In that scenario, can you guide us to what could the margins look like? Would it be five rupees, 4 rupees, 6 rupees a litre?
No, with these large capex programs in hand, if the standard margin is around 2.5 or 3 rupees level also, we are comfortable.
This 2.5 to 3 rupees, you say this is after deducting freight transportation?
All expenses. Transportation cost? After expenses, everything. This is the net retention.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Soma V from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is on
so when we book the channel recovery, so we
normally interrupt, but we cannot hear you. I request you to use handset while asking a question.
Yeah, I hope I'm audible now.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sir. My first question is on LPG under recovery. So when we book LPG under recovery, does this also include the normal marketing margins that we would have made? So for instance, if we say 100 rupees is the under recovery per cylinder, so this includes the normal margins that we should have made, or it's just that 100 rupees is the break-even requirement and this normal margin is not included in that?
No, when we calculate any under recovery, that is beyond our margins. Our margins we calculate on the margins plus whatever is actual under recovery, actual under recovery. So whatever money it comes back, that is beyond our margin.
So let's say we get a 100 rupees high, so that will compensate or bring us back to the normal level of margins to
right. Right. Yeah. This under recovery is not at this under recovery including the margin.
Okay, sir. Understood. The second question is on the CAPEX. If you could give some breakup in terms of segments of this 20,000 crores this year and the 20,000 crores next year, and also an update on the Bina project.
Yeah. Current year, 20,000 crore, approximate around 6,500 crore we are going to spend in refinery plus petrochemical projects. And marketing side, around pipelines, 1,400 crore, and RO expansions, including the CNG network, around 4,000 crore. Out of a CGD, we are going to spend around 1385 crore. And BPRL, this year, we are expecting around 2,500 crore of equity investments. And LPG, including the cylinders or marketing infrastructure, we are creating around for 2,000 crore. This is a broader breakup for 20,000 crore for 25-26. And for 26-27, similar level, refinery plus petrochemicals, around 11,000 crore we are going to spend. And BPRL equity requirement for next year will be around 2,500 crore. And CGD, we are going to spend around 2,200 crore. And marketing initiatives, including the RO expansion and whatever marketing infrastructure related depots and installation, will be around 6,000 crore. So overall, next year, we are expecting around 22 to 25,000 crore range.
Helpful, sir. So this refinery and petchem, which we are saying around 6,500 crores, this will predominantly be for Bina, and also Bina progress of, in terms of completion and the capex that's been earmarked so far and how much we have completed.
Yeah, Bina 14.2% we have achieved, and the capex number
1,800.
So 600 crore PP we are going to spend by end of this year, and Bina we are going to spend around 4,600 crore cumulative by end of this year for Bina.
Sir, one clarification. In the opening remarks, you did mention about an upgradation capex in Mumbai refinery. Could you help us, any timeline around it, when the project is expected to start, and some final details on that?
Yeah, our board has approved this project during this quarter. The mechanical completion by May 2029, this is the expected schedule timeline. This is having two parts. One is replacement of existing FCC and CCU unit with a upgraded version of petro RFCCU. So it will have residue upgradation also. The total capital outlay will be around 14,200 crore on gross. We are expecting May 29 is the scheduled day commissioning.
And work on this will start which year?
Work has started already. Work has started. We are in the process of appointing the PMC. We are working on the license selection. Work has started. Initial work has started.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atul Shah from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible?
Yeah.
Sir, wanted to understand a bit about the lubricant business. So, can you give a sense of the lubricant volumes, EBITDA margins, and market share for FY25? Also, wanted to understand what is the volume uptick we saw after the 2023 promotional scheme? How has volumes increased after that?
EBITDA numbers, individual product wise, we cannot share EBITDA numbers. But volume wise, this April to June, we have total volume of 78.7 TMT we have sold, other than retail. Last year it was 83.4%. Slightly, lubes volumes have degrown by 6%. Mainly there are certain technical issues in our lube oil blending plant. So that was the reason the production is a little bit lower as compared to the planned production. So current quarter it is 78.7 TMT lubricants.
Sir, would it be possible to share the FY24 and 25 numbers? Volume at least?
Yeah, we will share it.
Sir, my second question is on, as you mentioned that BPCL is doing like the best throughput per outlet, OMC, but we are lagging the private retailers on a throughput per outlet basis. So is it because of the high outlet count which OMCs have compared to the private players, or is there any other way to look at it? If they have more share of highway outlets, or can you make sense of this data?
This quarter they are getting good volumes mainly because of the margins, high margins. They are in a position to pass on a little bit more discount to the customers. So that discount game, we are not participated in the discount games. Like in some of the markets, we have extended certain schemes, but not in all the markets. And second is their concentration is mainly on certain areas. Their concentration is not there in the rural segment. That may be one region their RO volumes are comparatively better. But since we are a large organization presence across India, we have every market, we have our presence, including the rural segment, ABCD market, highway market, everywhere we have our presence. So it cannot be comparable per RO volumes with private sector and PSUs. So what we can compare is that within the PSUs, so where do BPCL stand?
Understood. Sir, just one last question is on the OMC trade margins. So on a per kg or per SCM basis, what is the trade margins which OMC outlet charges to the CGD like IGL, MGL when they are supplying gas on our on BPC's retail outlets?
That will be around 2 rupees per kg only. The retailer margin is around 2 rupees per kg only.
where we are selling CGD in their GAs, the retailer margin is around 2 rupees.
Sir, like that will be the margin which BPC is earning, or
retailer, whoever is retailing, the retailer will have. Like BPCL, if we are retailing in our forecourt, then we will get that margin.
Understood. Thanks, sir. Thanks for the clarity.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sukrit Patil from Eyesight Fintrade Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to the Bharat Petroleum team. I had a specific question for Mr. Pankaj Kumar. So is Mr. Pankaj Kumar online?
Yes, sir. I'm there.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir. My name is Sukrit Patil. I just want to understand a forward-looking question on regards to capital allocation. As BPCL is expanding its footprint in EV charging, biofuels and hydrogen, how is corporate finance evolving its capital deployment philosophy to support these new verticals? And is there a shift towards the platform-based valuation models or any JVs or partnerships that could unlock non-linear returns beyond the traditional refining and marketing metrics? Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the question. I think the broad breakup of the CapEx plan already Director Finance has shared. We have a broad roadmap of major projects which have already been announced, about 1.5 lakh crore. And you would have observed that we have actually been generating good cash flows from our existing operating business. And that is giving us a good strength for funding these projects going forward. We are having very comfortable debt equity at this stage. So there are projects actually, some of these refinery projects which we are going to do in our existing refineries will be on the balance sheet of BPCL, and that would be with a debt equity of about 1:1, up to 1:1 we are comfortable. At the same time, there could be projects that we would be taking up which would be in the joint venture format also. Both as an organic growth potential as well as inorganic, particularly in the new business areas like renewable, etc. So we are also planning to put up a CBG plant, 26 CBG plant, in which we would have some which would be direct investment project and some will be put up through JVs. About 16 will be put up through JVs. So therefore, in both these cases, projects which are being put up on our own balance sheet strength, we have considerable leverage available at this point of time, and we would be able to sustain that given that phased manner in which these projects are being implemented. And the joint ventures also, our proportionate capital allocation will be considerably modest in that sense, because the partnership also will be contributing. And there would also be, particularly in renewable, etc., we would be actually be putting up on a high debt equity, particularly renewable. And we are targeting good IRR for all these projects in the range of 12 to 15%. So therefore, we expect this to be quite comfortably funded from a capital allocation perspective.
Great, sir. Thank you very much for the guidance, and I wish you the best of luck and looking forward to hear you on the next Q2 con call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan for closing comments.
Yeah, sir, Lekhan, if you have any closing comments, please go ahead, Mr. Gupta.
Well, nothing. We hope we have replied for all the questions. If anything is pending, our team will share the information.
Great, sir. I wish to thank all the participants and the management of BPCL for patiently answering all the questions. Thank you, everyone, and have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.